Our Father, in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come, as we always do, thankful, so thankful for your mercies for the day, your grace for today. You said our strength would be for the day. And Lord, you've done it again another day. Gave us strength for the day, grace for the day, bread for the day. Blessed mercy for the day. A good hope you've given us for another day. And we thank you for it. And we thank you for those that are out tonight and pray that you would bless them in the gospel. Bless them with the word of God tonight. Your Lord, make the word effectual, make it prosperous, make it real and alive and effectual to our hearts and our understanding. And Lord, we pray now for those who are sick, weary, sick in body, sick in mind, sick in so many ways. But we pray for Larry and Lola that you'd continue to uphold them and give them grace as they're frail in body. And we pray for Shelby. God, help her. Lord, be her strength, be her comfort. And oh Lord, we just pray for her. Pray for Bruce and Sandy who cannot come be with us. And Lord Jesus, we pray for others among us. And Lord, if I forgot anybody, please forgive me. And Lord, meet our needs tonight. Give Andrew and Rodica and the kids traveling mercies. God, keep your hand on them. Go before them. See them safely where they go. Provide for them where they go. Keep them where they go. Keep them in their going out and their coming in. And Lord, use them where they go. God bless them. God strengthen them. God encourage them. And oh Lord, keep them for Christ's sake. Amen. Yeah. You know, when we talk about the cities of refuge, it's talking about Christ, our refuge. And you know, in these cities of refuge, and I want you to turn back over here with me to keep Joshua 20 and look in Numbers 35. You know, the cities of refuge were for people who slew somebody and didn't intend to. Say this, out chopping wood or doing some kind of a job, and say there's chopping wood and the axe head fell off and hit a fella in the head and killed him. That man didn't have no malice in it, didn't have no hatred for him. It was purely, just he didn't have no malice for him. So that's where this city of refuge is referred. And why they came into those city of refuge, because the avenger of blood, whoever person who died, the person that's brother to him or father to them, would go after that person who killed their loved one. And so God appointed six cities of refuge for those people who slew somebody unaware without any malice. And they went in there for judgment and justice. And when they met together, the elders heard their plea. They let them into the city. Then they would judge them and render justice. Now if a murderer come in there who actually kill somebody deliberately out of malice and out of hatred, they would take him, they'd put him on trial, and then they'd send him back out to that avenger of blood, and that avenger of blood was able to kill him. But if you done it unawares and you got in that city of refuge, they wouldn't send you out. That avenger of blood could not touch you. Could not touch you. And I want you to look here, I think it is in verse 11 with me. And Numbers 35. Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee there which killeth any person unawares. And then go down and look what it says in verse 16. Now this is and if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And then down in verse 24, look what it says. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. So they were the judge. The whole congregation was the judge. The judge. And the man who committed murder after trial, he had to go out and face the avenger of blood. He had to. But if it was an accident, there was no malice involved in it, he was allowed to stay in the city. Now the word, Hebrew word for refuge means hope, a safe dwelling place, a person or a place. When we get to it, we feel safe and we still feel secure. Now I tell you, the only safety and security and place where there's any safety and security and refuge for God's people is only in Christ Jesus. He's the only refuge we've got where we can flee into Him and we're safe and we're secure. We're secure. And all these cities, first thing I want you to tell you about these cities was the cities were appointed by God. God. You know, I read over in Numbers 35 where it says, God said He appoints six cities for refuge. And here it says the Lord in verse 2 here of chapter 20 of Joshua, speak to the children of Israel, say, appoint you cities of refuge. God appointed these cities of refuge. God did this. He provided this. And these six cities were sanctified by God, set apart by God, for the sakes of those people, according to God's will, would go into those cities to find refuge. And you know the scriptures tells us, since God appointed these, the scriptures tells us plainly that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope which is set before us. Even Jesus, our forerunner, who has entered into heaven for us. And our Lord Himself said, I sanctify myself. I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified by that truth. Now when Christ says He separates Himself and sanctifies Himself, does that mean He's going to make Himself more holier than He is? Is He going to make Himself more perfect than He is? More sinless than He is? Of course not. It means that I'm setting myself apart as a sacrifice, as an atonement, as a mediator, as a blood offering, as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice, so that when you're set apart by that, then you'll be sanctified by the truth of what I did and accomplished on that cross. And I tell you what, and when a man entered any one of these cities, what a comfort it was for him to know he was where God appointed for him to be. And you know, God appointed one man, to be a surety, to be a representative, to be a savior, to be a mediator, and one man for the shedding of His blood to save His people from their sins by the sacrifice of Himself. God appointed one man, not one savior. There's not a half a dozen saviors. No, there were six cities, but Christ is only one. And all these cities will tell us about Christ, but I tell you what, God appointed Him. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. This is my beloved Son. Believe on Him. This is my beloved Son that I gave a work to do. And He finished that work. And I'm going to glorify Him with the glory that He had before the world ever was. And not only were these six cities appointed of God, and I tell you, if you're where God appoints, if you're where God appointed for you to be, you could not be more safe and more secure than where God appointed you to be, could you? God said, this is where I want you. Where you want me at? In Christ. And then these were merciful, not only of God's appointments, but they were merciful appointments. How merciful is God that God Himself would have a place where men could go for a refuge from the avenger of blood. And you know, they knew that they needed a place to hide. They knew they needed some place to get away from the avenger of blood. And they needed present mercy and a righteous, righteous protection. And when they got in that city, righteousness would not let them go back out. Righteousness would not let them go back out that gate unless there was a murderer. And then righteousness demanded that they go back out. But if you didn't kill a person because you hated him or something happened, then you was welcome in that city and you had righteous protection. Righteous protection. And that's, listen to me, you talking about righteous protection. We've got righteous mercy and righteous protection in our blessed Son. Oh, in God's blessed Son. There is nothing. Here's the thing. God is righteous and just in all that He does. The judge of all the earth must do right. And if He provided us an appointed place and the appointed refuge, and we come where God appointed for us, where God told us to come, and that was to come to His blessed Son, then God in righteousness cannot never put us out of His Son. You know why? Because the Son has already faced what God required of us. And this is why universal atonement, and that Christ died for all men, will not stand. It just cannot, you can't hold that. And I'll tell you why. If Christ died for every man, then without a doubt, God being a righteous God and a just God would have to justly save every single one for whom Christ died. Ain't that right? So that's how righteously we're going to stay, based on the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness of God. And all those persons for whom those cities were appointed, it wasn't a place for a willful murderer. But if it was a willful murderer, if he was a murderer, he must be dragged out and given over to the avenger of blood after he was tried, and then he'd be executed. But those, in case of accident, without malice aforethought, when he came, he could dwell safely in that. But now listen, this is where the type breaks down, right here. Christ our Lord is not a refuge for innocent people. He's not our refuge for somebody who made an accident and had an accident and his life is an accident and he made some few mistakes in his life. This, our Lord, this is where type breaks down. That's where all the types that they are, they all break down somewhere. But this is where the type breaks down. Christ is not a refuge for the innocent, but for the guilty. Huh? Not for those who accidentally transgress, but for the willful transgressors. You know, our Lord, Bruce mentioned this Sunday morning. Our Lord Jesus, you know, He said, I'm a physician. And they that are whole don't need the physician. They don't need a doctor. But they that are sick, I don't go to the doctor because I'm not sick. And I tell you what, and that's what, you know, but here's the thing, when you are sin sick, really sin sick, top of your head to the sole of your foot, from the inside of your heart to the outside of your skin, mind, body, soul, and spirit, sinful. Huh? Then our Lord says, then I'm the doctor for you. I'm the physician for you. He said, I'll have mercy. That's what I'm going to give you. Mercy is what I've got to do. Mercy will heal you of your sickness. Mercy will cure you of your disease. Those lepers that came down off the mountain, they said, Lord, if you will, you make us clean. You make us clean. He said, I will. And how many people come to Him for mercy? Bartimaeus said, oh Lord, have mercy. And that's what happens whenever you willfully transgress. That's what Christ is. You know, He's an advocate. Jesus Christ, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And you know that our advocate, our lawyer, the only cases he takes is people that are absolutely guilty of whatever they're accused of. Huh? And God stopped our mouths and we're guilty before Him. And I tell you, beloved, that's what the Lord Jesus, as guilty sinners, we need more than just a shelter. We need righteously justified in God's sight. You go through the New Testament sometime, and go through the Old Testament and look about in God's sight. There's more. Paul was more interested in a bit how he was in God's sight than he was anybody else's. He said, be judged of you, that don't make nothing. That don't matter nothing to me. But oh, to be judged of God, to face God, to be in the place in Christ to face God. You can judge me all you want to, but I judge before God. And we've already been judged in Christ. And I tell you, Christ is our justification before God, before law, before sin, before angels, before justice, before anything that there can be charged against us. Christ is our justification for anything that could accuse us. And I tell you, these cities of refuge, Christ our refuge, is a place in every city of justice and judgment. He said, the congregation makes a just judgment according to what God appointed. And I tell you, beloved, our Lord, now you listen, I tell you this. Two things that will destroy us. Two things. Because of what we are by nature. God's justice and God's judgment. When God finds you guilty, then nothing but judgment and condemnation. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, He faced both of them. When that avenger of blood came, our Lord was given up to that avenger of blood. When God said, the soul that sinneth this shall die, Christ said, I'll die. When God said, our justice demands the death and the punishment and the judgment, Christ said, I'll obey the punishment. I'll face the judgment. Well, I got to pour my wrath out on it. I'll take your wrath. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when they come after Him, when justice and judgment come after Him, He went out there, and He went out there willingly. He went out there by His own will, by His own volition, by His own love, by His own power, and He went out there and faced it, in order to be what? Our hiding place, our refuge. Oh my. And I tell you, that trial, when they had us in that place, that trial found us guilty. And if we stood outside of Christ and we was outside that refuge, God's justice would stand out there and His law would stand out there with the sword drawn and said, you come out of here, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to slay you. And our Lord went forth and He faced it. He said, smite the shepherd. Smite him, where at? Right in the heart. Right to where he'll die. Where the blood will flow. Huh? Oh, now. We have a just place to hide exactly where God sent to. And I tell you, beloved, for those who don't flee to Christ for refuge, the avenger of blood will one day execute judgment, and justly so. Now I want to look at the names of these cities here, and how every one of them are significant for you and me as Christ our refuge. Now look here in verse 7, and we'll go through these six cities and the names and what they mean and what Christ is to us. Verse 7, they appointed, here's one of the cities they appointed, Kadesh in Galilee. Kadesh. Oh my, they tell some particular view of our Lord. and they real estate our suffering master and all we need, and he's all we need. But first of all, there's Kadesh. You know what Kadesh means? It's a holy place. The word Kadesh means a holy place. Huh? It's a place for men and women who have no holiness of their own. Nothing to commend them to God, no place to hide, no refuge to be in. And the Lord is holy. We are sinful. And it's His holiness that becomes the hope of us as sinful people and unclean. Because you know, God made Him our righteousness and our sanctification. In Christ, we're holy. As holy as we'll ever be. And you know, Job asked this question, said, can a clean thing come out of an unclean? No, can't do it. But I tell you what, someone who is clean can cleanse someone who's filthy. And that's what Christ does by His blood. He cleanses us who are unfilthy. And His holiness. And I tell you what, that's what the Scriptures tells us, that our Lord is holy. And I tell you, Christ is a holy place for us to refuge in. Uh-huh. Oh my. One of my neighbors told me the other day, I don't know why I didn't say something about it, but it kind of caught me off guard. But he was over talking to me, and he talked about, you know, and he was pretty upset about some things. And he was talking. He said, salvation is easy. It's the sanctification part that's hard. And I should have told him right then and there, said, well, it's not hard for me, because I don't have no sanctification. You be around me for just a little while and you find out I ain't got none. But if Christ ain't my holiness, then I'm a gone Jesse. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Oh my. And then look what else another word is here. The next one is down there in Shechem. Shechem. After Kadesh. Shechem in Mount Ephraim. And you know what Shechem means? It means shoulder. It means shoulder. Shoulder. Now what in the world do we need a shoulder for? To carry us? To lead on?
Yeah.
To trust? You know, when our Lord went to find His sheep, you know where they found safety and rest at and security at? On the Savior's shoulder. When our Lord went out seeking the lost sheep, it says when He had found it, He laid it upon His shoulder and carried it back to the sheepfold. And over, you know, our Lord Jesus, He said, you know, in Isaiah 9:6, it says the government, not governments, government. A lot of governments in this world. And we don't want to get into that, but our government's all over the place. Everybody wants to govern somebody. But I tell you what, the government is upon His shoulder. Not government's government. That means He governs everything. One thing, He governs all the nations on this earth that people are trying to govern. Christ governs the whole world. And men are going to go just as far as He says to go, and then they're going to be cut off. Huh? And I tell you what, beloved, and if he carries the government upon this shoulder and His sheep on this shoulder, you think He can handle them both? I got to show you something. Keep Joshua. Look in Isaiah 43. I love this verse of Scripture. I've showed it to you before, but oh, it's such a blessing. I read it this afternoon, this evening, sitting out on the back porch, and oh my goodness, it just blessed my heart. Isaiah 46, it just blessed my heart. I got happy reading about it. Look what it said here. In Isaiah 46, in verse 3. Hearken, or listen, to me, O house of Jacob. Who's the house of Jacob? People that God loves. People that's in His house. Descendants of Jacob. And all the remnant of the house of Israel. Now listen to this. Are born by me from the belly. Paul said, God separated me from my mother's womb. He told Jeremiah, before you was formed in the belly, I knew you. And you was born by me, and from the belly, which are carried from the womb. We got out of the womb, God started carrying us. We didn't have a clue that He was carrying us. But He was watching over us and keeping us. Now listen to this. And He said, I've carried you from your womb. You know how long I'm going to carry you? Until your old age, I am He. Well, that's where I'm at. Ain't that where you're at, Joe? We're in an old age. Even to your hoar hairs, that's gray hairs. And I'm going to carry you. I have made you, and I'm going to bear you. I'm going to carry you, and I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to do it. That's what He said. I tell you one thing. If He ever sets us down, be no hope for us. If He ever sets us down and say, walk by yourself. Ooh, can't, Lord. Can't. I can't walk by myself. I can't go by myself. Please don't set me down. We don't think it's a burden to carry our little old babies that can't walk. They can't walk. And we don't think it's a burden to carry them. Well, you think it's a burden to our Lord to carry us? When He said, without me, you can do nothing? Oh, we're not no burden to Him. Oh, don't set me down, Lord. Don't set me down. And I know this. I don't find no government ruling myself. We trust Him, not only His merit, but His almighty merit. When you're on somebody's shoulder, they're underneath you, and you're above them, and they're carrying you. And Christ is underneath us. Can we fall? No. This is what's so glorious about our Savior. You know how many people He has in this world? And how many He's had over the centuries and over the millennial. And I tell you what, He's carried every single one of them. That gives you some idea of how great and how glorious and how mighty our Lord Jesus Christ is. That He deals with every one of us like He ain't got nobody to carry but us. Huh? And then look, here's another one. There in verse 7. So then there's Kirjathabar, which is Hebron in the mount of Judah. Hebron. You know what Hebron stands for? Fellowship, union, communion. And when you you know, when you ain't got nobody to fellowship with and don't have no union or anything, and there was a time we didn't have any union or communion or fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God Himself. And I tell you, man is spiritually homeless. He's got to have some place to go. And like Noah's dove, when he left that ark, he never found a resting place. No fellowship, no safety, no place for him to go. And it's like that prodigal. He says, you know, when he left home, he said this. He said, I'm going to return unto my father's house. And that's what we do. We have been brought into fellowship, union, and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Paul said, you know, John said it like this. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Our union, our fellowship is with the Father. And with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful who's called you into the fellowship of His Son. David said this. He said, when my father and mother forsake me, you know what he said? Then the Lord will take me up. When my mother and my father forsook me, they done that when I was just a little boy. 10 years old, put everything I owned in a bag. Me and my little brother. He is 9, I was 10. Walked out to the end of the road. My sister picked us up, took us south. Michael David went one way, I went the other. But the Lord, I didn't even know it, but He'd already took me up.
Yeah.
Oh my. So I tell you, and here's the next one down in verse 8. Now getting on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer, and look what it says, in the wilderness. Oh my, a refuge in the wilderness? That Bezer means a stronghold. You know, man is not only a sinner, he's helplessly sinful. And the manslayer knew no such thing as self-protection. Oh no, he didn't try to protect himself. And we can no more protect ourselves in the event from the avenger of blood. And so we need a stronghold. I've quoted this verse, I don't know how many times, but I thought today I'm going to look at it. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. I've quoted this to you all and quoted it to you, but you need to look at it yourself. And look here in Proverbs 18:10. And I know when you read it, you're going to know exactly what it means. Huh? Oh my. We didn't have any strength. We needed a stronghold. A stronghold. Look what it said here in verse 10. Proverbs 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Oh my, great old big tower, strong tower. And listen to this now. The righteous run into it and they're safe. You know what it says in the margin? Set aloft. Oh, we got a stronghold. David says, you know, he went to his stronghold. They couldn't find him. Well, I tell you one thing. We in Christ, he's our stronghold. And he keeps us from the avenger of blood. And we're set so high in him that the avenger of blood can't get up there. Can't get up there. And the mercy of God in Christ is the only stronghold that can never, never give way. Christ is our Bezer. In fact, when he comes after us, the avenger of blood, he can't get to that stronghold. He turns away, even stops looking, and he stops waiting. Huh? Oh, you know, here's the wonderful thing about it. Once you in Christ, everything about him is keeping. Huh? And then let me give you the next one here. Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad. And this Ramoth, it means exalted. Exalted. You know, we was born way down here. I mean, we was born low. Low. We was low. Born in bad shape. But God gave Christ a name that's above every name. And by nature, we're without strength and without hope in this world. But we've got one, he says, at God's right hand. That's exalted. And you know what God did for us? He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Huh? God set him high, exalted him, and you know he exalted us with him. Whatever Christ has is ours. Whatever God gives to Christ, he gives to us. And oh my. And you know, in this world here, we have no hope. In this world here, there's no hope at all. You know where our hope's at? Sitting at God's right hand.
Amen.
Oh. You know, and when there wasn't no mountain, listen to me now, wasn't no mountain high enough to save anybody from the flood. Only the ark could bury it up above all those mountains and above all that water. And they was lifted up, and God in Christ lifted us up together with him. And we're sitting together. You know, that's what God says. I'm sitting with Christ in glory right now. Though I'm standing here preaching, That's what faith is all about. Faith, we hear this stuff and say, oh, but that's what we believe. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. I'm sitting down in heaven. And when Christ gets off his throne and calls us all to glory, we'll still be just exactly where we always was in Christ. Oh my. Well, let me give you the last one here. The last one down there in the last part of verse 8, it says Golan. You probably hear about this stuff in the news. Golan and Bashan of the tribe of Manasseh. This word Golan means separated. Separated. Separated out. And when God separated us, He separated us unto Christ. He sanctified us by the truth unto Christ. Set us apart in Christ, even before the world ever began. And here's one thing I'll tell you. Now sometimes we get tempted. We have some awful temptations. But whatever that temptation is to get you outside that refuge, to get you away from Christ who separated you, don't go. Don't get outside that city of refuge. No, don't do it. Well, if you could, would you? No. You say, well, I've growed and I have some strength. I believe I can kind of make it. Well, that's a lie the devil told you. You ain't got no strength. And I tell you what, the longer I've been a believer, the less I get smaller. I know less. Get less. I know less. And so He is our city. He is our refuge. He's our separation. And you know how He separated us? With the truth and with His blood. He bought us with His blood. Separated us from the rest of this world. Separated us from our families. Separated us from our brothers and sisters and our mothers and fathers. Separated us to Himself. Huh? Separated us to Himself. And from these names, let me give you this. We learn that what we have in Christ, who is our refuge, we have holiness, we have rest, we have fellowship, we have safety, we have exaltation, and we're separated to God. Paul said, God separated me from my mother's womb. That's when He separated us. Huh? There were six cities, no more than a half a day's distance. But there's not six Christs. It's one Christ, one Lord. And the Word is nigh thee. What is that Word that's nigh thee? Even in thy mouth, the Word of faith which we preach, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And these cities were abiding places. Now I want you to see this. So look down here in verse 6 of chapter Joshua 20. Look what it says here. And he shall abide in it till the death of the high priest. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then the slayer shall return and come to his own house and unto his own city and unto the city from whence he fled. Now I tell you, that man who fled to the city of refuge, his life was connected with that life of that high priest. And as long as that high priest lived, he lived. And as long as our high priest lives, you reckon we're going to be all right? You know, but they said after the high priest dies, then he can go home. Well, our high priest ain't going to die. So I'll tell you what, you know when we'll go home? When our high priest tells us to. Amen? Yes. Amen. Christ, our refuge. Beautiful picture of our Old Testament picture of our Lord. I pray He's a blessing to you. Father, thank You. Thank You for allowing us to meet here again tonight. To be with the children of God. To be with those who rejoice in our Lord. Who find refuge only in Him. Refuge from themselves, refuge from sin, refuge from death. refuge from condemnation, refuge from guilt, refuge from shame. Oh Lord, you're our refuge. We hide ourselves. Oh Lord, we hide ourselves in you. And we thank you for it. In Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen.